Hi, put on a happy face. It's time for Love Workshop.
I'm just sort of sitting around day after day in quiet desperation, knowing that I have nothing to be happy about.
Well, probably the best thing to do would be to kill yourself.
Love Workshop!
Well, maybe you could get into some real sick behavior, like possibly rubbing this chocolate snack cake I have here into your hair.
Love Workshop, the weekly program designed to make your life a little less enjoyable with
me, Vern,
and myself, Craig.
That's us, Craig and Craig.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 10 o'clock news. This is the top story of the hour. A sweeping plan to establish apartheid rule in the city of Phoenix has been unanimously approved by the city council, loosely modeled after a system designed by the government of South Africa to control undesirable elements of its society. Phoenix has now been divided into two separate regions for the purpose of containing the ever-increasing threat posed by West Phoenix to the quality of life in the community as a whole. Vern is at the municipal building now, where I believe a formal statement has just been released by the council. Vern?
Yes, Craig. A rather strongly worded statement has been issued here declaring that the extraordinary sociological and cultural limitations generally associated with the West Phoenix approach to civilization can no longer be permitted to randomly deteriorate the remainder of the city. Then it goes on to say, therefore, we have taken comprehensive steps to physically isolate the area bounded by 3rd Avenue west to the city limit and by Van Buren Street north to Moon Valley.
Can you give us any specifics as to the nature of these comprehensive steps, Vern?
Yes, the details are sketchy in this area, Vern, but we do know that a closed border has been erected along the entire length of 3rd Avenue, jutting back as far as 7th Avenue in some cases to exempt the better Encano and North Central neighborhoods that happen to extend a little further into the west side. The net effect of all this is obviously that no one living in West Phoenix will be allowed to enter East Phoenix without permission.
Vern, suppose I'm a resident of West Phoenix and I wish to visit my sick aunt in East Phoenix. Where do I go?
There are three major ports of entry, Craig, located at the intersections of 7th Avenue and Bethany and 3rd Avenue at Indian School and McDowell Roads. Anyone wishing to cross over into East Phoenix must do so at these points.
Craig, how will this affect a person living on the east side?
Considerably less drastically, Vern. Bona fide residents of East Phoenix will be permitted relatively free access to the west side, but under certain very minor conditions, according to this brief list I have here. A resident of East Phoenix may not stay in West Phoenix for a period totaling in excess of 15 hours per given week. He may not own or sit on the roof of any type of dwelling there. He may not take an oath to or serve under any form of government there, and he may not purchase or transport any clothing, furniture, seat covers, or auto parts sold or manufactured there.
Is there a penalty for violating these conditions, Vern?
Yes, there is, Craig, ranging from a simple revocation of travel privileges to loss of East Phoenix citizenship altogether.
Does this mean deportation?
Exactly, Craig. Should authorities determine that a particular violator has suffered an irreversible amount of psychological damage by, for instance, doing too much shopping there, the violator may be required to take up permanent residence on the west side.
Thank you, Craig. We have Phoenix Mayor Margaret Hance in our studios this evening. Nice to have you with us, Mayor.
Thank you, Craig.
Mayor, the fact still remains that a good many of our air conditioning repairmen and electronics assembly workers, for example, live in West Phoenix. Now, are these people going to be restricted from working on the east side?
Of course not, Craig. We will issue a red labor card to any individual employed in an industry that is vital to the city, such as the two you've just mentioned. These persons will simply have to present their red card and, following an inspection, continue on to their place of employment.
Yes, Mayor. Can you give us a rough idea of what is involved in this inspection?
Well, I believe so, Craig. The border guards will, of course, examine the red card. They may then search the individual and or his car for any illegal seat covers or West Phoenix clothing or what have you. And, in addition, the guards will be checking very closely for any particular offensive arts and crafts, like those little ceramic daddy, mommy, and baby fish projects that the West Phoenix electronics workers are prone to bring to work and show their friends.
This would also include the decoupage and beadwork?
Right, Craig. The distinctively West Side home creations are what we're trying to keep out of East Phoenix. And this is naturally what the border personnel will be looking for.
Thank you, Mayor. I believe that Vern is now on location at one of the new checkpoints. Vern?
Yes, Craig. I'm at the Bethany Home Inspection Station, where a good deal of the hardcore Maryville traffic will be processed, such as the young lady I'm talking to right now, Miss Shelley Barnes, who has just been turned back by the guards. Tell us what happened, Shelley.
Well, I get up to the guard, and he checks my purse and finds a picture of me and my boyfriend in front of the house I live in.
The John F. Long Challenger?
Yeah, it's a Challenger. And he says that I can't take pictures of Challengers into East Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked me if that's my transmission on the front porch. And I told him no, that it was there when I moved in.
Mm-hmm. So what happened then?
Well, he told me that I'd better not plan on bringing any of the transmission into East Phoenix because it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And then he marks my blouse with this piece of chalk and says that it's on the Maryville Shopping City list.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'll need a special permit to wear it in the East Phoenix.
So then what did you do?
Well, I didn't dig this big chalk mark on my blouse because my ex-husband broke into my house last week when he was real drunk and cut up all of my clothes. So this is the only blouse I got left. So I called up my sister's boss to give me a ride over to my girlfriend's house because I'm real upset about my life.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't get off work for 3 hours, so I guess I'll go home.
Well, thank you very much, Shelley. Back to you, Vern.
Thank you, Vern. Now if I can get Craig on the phone, I'd like to ask how the council plans to maintain any sort of dialogue between the East and West sides.
Well, Craig, mutual understanding is the key here, which the city believes can only be achieved through education. So they're starting at the foundation by setting up a specially funded Reach Out Across Central Avenue, or ROCA for short, where deserving young people will be given a chance to actually travel into West Phoenix and live with a family there, and attend their schools and eat their food, and in general learn as much as they can about their culture.
So that the students will be better prepared to cope with the West Side as adults.
Right, Craig.
I believe something has been mentioned about instructional tours.
Yes, the city will also offer a number of specialized guided tours of major points of interest in West Phoenix.
Such as?
Well, there's the Christown by Motor Coach, which will be very nice. And another one I'm sure everyone will like is called The Lawns of Maryvale.
That sounds intriguing.
It should be, Craig. The Lawns of Maryvale tour also features a spectacular light and sound diorama depicting the dramatic struggle between grass and auto parts for domination of the land over the years.
The city has every reason to be excited about that, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, a two-story apartment building in Madras, India, collapsed this morning, killing 33,000 people and injuring an additional 17. On the local scene, a teenage co-ed was found dead in the desert north of Phoenix late this afternoon, when Sheriff Paul Bluebaum was asked by a reporter, could this possibly be the work of a hulking psychopathic Negro sex monster? Bluebaum replied, no comment. So obviously, a rampaging, savage, bloodthirsty sex Negro is on the loose and preparing to strike again shortly. And there's the one about the man who took his pet gorilla into the veterinarian's office for a checkup. And the vet says, she sure is small for a gorilla. Funny, that's the same thing my friends say about my wife, the man replied. Good news and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening on Decorating for the Poor.
Hi, everyone. Tonight on Decorating for the Poor, we're quite fortunate to have Phil Kimberly with us, who's a very well-known interior designer and has lots of terrific ideas for the many of you subsistence-level families out there who would like to really perk up your home. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Craig.
The first thing I noticed right off the bat is that you hardly fit the fag stereotype we always associate with the interior decorator.
No, there's nothing stereotype about me, Craig.
Okay, Phil, we're here to talk interior decorating for the poor. Where would you like to start?
Well, I've got an absolutely marvelous idea for your really classic trash families, where all the kids and those little relatives from Hermosillo are all sleeping on air mattresses scattered around the house. Well, this makes for a terribly unsightly mess in the morning, come clean-up time. So I've got a very easy-to-make one- or two-evening project here, where we just take a roll of ordinary household tape and tape the mattresses together, like you see in the sketch here. And they all fold up into a very attractive daytime work table for the youngsters. And for chairs, you can just take a simple paper bag, like the one I have here, and you can get these in most any store, you see. And you fill up the bag with your pillow and sheet and your pajamas and all your bedtime things, and you put a big rubber band around the whole thing like so. One, two, three, and you've got a perfectly lovely chair.
Aesthetic yet functional.
Exactly, Craig. Now, here's a very interesting door idea. When someone steals your door, instead of having to fret and stew about having to go out and get a brand new commercial door, you can just take one of your old air mattresses. Double up a couple of the relatives from Hermosillo if you have to, and simply take your tape and attach the mattresses to the door frame. Now, if you attach it to the outside, of course, the mattress door will open out. So you'll want to be sure and have the air nozzle facing out because it makes a very nice door handle. You know, you can just sort of pull on it. Or, like you see in this picture I have here, you see the picture? This family in the picture has taped the empty stool from their tape roll to the nozzle, as you can see, for a sort of pull ring effect. Now, here's another idea. You can tape your air mattress to the top of the door frame, let the air out, and then take a knife or a pair of scissors or what have you, and cut the mattress lengthwise into long ribbons, which will leave you with a positively charming sort of oriental or Arabic effect, like those bead doors, or you just separate the strands of air mattress and walk right through. In this case, the nozzle can be on either side of the door.
Can you see some forlorn, dejected, impoverished family actually going through the process of holding up an air mattress in different positions over the door so they can all vote on which kind of door would be the most appealing to them? Actually making a conscious, thoughtful selection, saying to themselves, I like the traditional air mattress door better than the Oriental-style air mattress door.
Well, it's the kind of personal choice one has to make for himself. You just have to say to yourself, who am I? How do I relate to my environment? What sort of space and form requirements do I have? All of these things enter into it, Craig.
Thank you, Phil, for your fascinating tips on decorating for the poor.
You're welcome.
Teen Consciousness. Welcome to Teen Consciousness. Tonight, we've taken our Teen Consciousness microphone to a live teen party where Vern is asking this week's teen question. How is your car running? Vern?
How's your car running? Pretty good. Oh, okay. How's your car running?
Real good.
How about you? How's your car running?
Just real good.
You don't have to think about these. Just say whatever you want to say.
How about you? How's your car running?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? Any special reason? Just pretty good?
I get where I'm going.
Yeah?
Very insightful. How about you? How's your car running?
It's running, but it's fast enough for me.
How's your car running?
My car's running pretty good. You know, I just bought it, and everyone tells me it's a piece of but I think it's pretty good, I'm glad it runs good.
What do you like best about your car?
I like it in the back. It's a hatchback, Vega, And so I can put the back seat down and I can...
He bought it at my house. You're from Mexico. Well, no. You can't speak English.
Yeah, but I can... in the back. See, I like it. No, I put the back seat down.
Yeah. How about you with the retainer? What kind of
car do you use? Blazer, K5.
What do you like best about it?
It's all right.
I think you them and the seat belt kind of hurts your back. Yeah. In the back of mine, you can really ball really good.
Yeah, I like them. Is there anything you think you can improve with your car at all?
The carpeting in mine isn't really thick enough, and the girls complain that, see, I'm a big boy,
They
complain that, too much weight on their back, So I'd like to get thicker carpeting.
Sort of a shag or something?
Yeah,
like
really, something like a shag. I wouldn't make it.
I think we gotta get another keg.
We're talking about cars right now.
This is kind of philosophical, but anything special you want to do with your life, now that you've
got your
dream car, you got your Vegas?
I'd like to climb Calmec Mountain and
Tell me, you want to go to college?
Yeah, I'd like to go to Scottsdale Community College.
Yeah? Any special reason?
Because, like I told you, the parking lot is really... No, it is. It's big. And, people tell me that no one watches it. You can rip off a lot of shit from cars.
Yeah. What about your thought, maybe getting a job at some big place like Motorola or something? They have huge parking lot.
I don't like to work, though. I just like to rip off things and chicks in the back of my Vega.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm a guy that makes a lot of sense,
Tell me about your car.
It's pretty
How'd you stack it up against Dan's Vega?
What? Well, it goes more places than his
does. Mine sits in front of the house, and I just in it a lot. But other than that, it doesn't go that many places.
Tell me about your truck.
It's got everything on it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm trying to sell it right now.
What are you going
to
do with your life, though, once you sell your car?
I'm just going to work and, party at night. Just have a good time. So I'll get 4,500 kegs.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Does anybody else want anything last comment? Thank you.
Sincerely hope that this gets on Lover's Talk, because I like to tell all the, chicks I'm free to listen, and then they'll be able to, when they hear me going, on the, the telephone or radio or whatever it is, they can hear themselves and go, yeah, that was me.
And now, Mr. Bill Compton, Program Director of KDKB Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Compton speaking. As Program Director of KDKB Radio, I'm generally responsible for the quality, variety, and aesthetic character of the many services and entertainments broadcast on this station. And as a consequence, I alone may be held accountable to you, the listening audience, for whatever successes or failures that may occur. I say this with a certain degree of pride, because I believe I have executed my task in good faith, and I feel that my overall sensitivity and fairness is met with the approval of the community I serve. But that's ancient history now. 6 months ago, the Love Workshop came along, and in that period of time, my life has become a prison. Nobody likes the show. I hate it. The management hates it. The disc jockeys, the secretaries, and the entire population of Phoenix hate this show. There isn't a day that goes by without some totally traumatized group or citizen blasting me up one side of my office and down the other over this or that other atrocity that they heard on the Love Workshop. And here I am, a guy that's literally beat his guts against a wall to build up a nice reputation, and wacko, these two psychopathic creeps just slammed the lid on the whole thing. Oh, I can't take it any longer. I'm about to lose my job. I've become so bogged down on liquor, dope, and self-pity that I can barely get through the day without a major incident. My driving is erratic. I create horrible disturbances in restaurants. The list is endless. I admit it. I'm broken. But I'll be damned if Bill Compton is going to go down quietly. I promised myself I'd never let on how the people at Love Workshop got me into this nightmare, because I'm basically a proud individual, but nothing matters anymore. Vern and Craig forced me to put this show on the air. I had no choice. This is tough for me, so please bear with me. It all started last year. I've got a steady gal. Been with her for a long time. She's a good person. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. And then I run across this lady at a party. We get to talking, and I find out she's this real high power personality at Channel 5. I just called her Rita. Well, I'd always wanted to jump on a TV home crafts lady. My whole body went into a robot-like trance, and I imagined myself blasting her eyes out while she made a Tiffany lampshade out of my underwear. I was a beast. She resisted at first, and then, blam, we convulsed our way into a coital and cramped frenzy that, to this day, I'll never know how we both survived. I still have her incredibly ingenious coat hanger and baby food jar diaphragm rack. Well, to make a long story short, Vern and Craig took pictures. They were merciless. They taunted me for weeks. I gave them money, bought them clothes. They took my furniture. They destroyed my car. I held off for as long as I could, but I was weak, I guess. I finally let them do this program. I'm sorry. I'm so very sorry. Please understand. Please put yourself in my shoes and try not to judge me too harshly. This has been Bill Compton speaking. Goodbye.